couple of minutes from.
Sorry.
That's okay. So I called the meeting to order. Look for approval of minutes from last month. We had a chance to review those. I'll make a motion.
Make a motion to approve the minutes without any changes.
All those in favor? Well, I second that. I'm sorry. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. And so next, I think we're up to Peter Boffman with the Parks and Rec liaison report. What you guys been up to?
Hi, everybody. Yeah, well, as you can probably guess, water has been a really big issue in the parks this summer. It's with the record high temperatures, and we're having limited supply. TID's been on and off, and we're trying to conserve. So you'll probably notice dry areas, lawns, and low ponds. As Kat had mentioned, Ashland Pond is really getting low. And we're just trying to prioritize now. Keeping trees alive is a high priority, especially we're going around hand watering all the new trees and trying to irrigate those that are used to it. So we're just keeping our fingers crossed, and it's still early in the summer, and it's looking like a pretty tough one ahead. So I'm sure everybody's dealing with this in their own properties and such, but that's kind of our big issue right now.
Can you tell us what the situation is up at the Rita Reservoir and what the arrangement is with getting water from Medford in terms of supplementing any shortfall that we have? Do you know about that?
Derek may know more about this than I do. I believe we are tied into the Medford water supply now with the tap.
We have the tap, the Talon Ashland Phoenix intertie, and we have a certain allotment in Lost Creek Lake that we can pull off from that. I don't know at this point if we are, to what degree. I know it's supplemental. It's not a really big source. It's just a certain acre feet that we have each year that we can use.
Okay.
And what about the reservoir? Does anyone know what the status of how full or empty that is?
I don't know. I could check from Public Works if you'd like and drop an email to everybody.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'm not sure myself.
I've just been concerned because has been so many water. I haven't been seeing a lot of promotion of water conservation around. Maybe I'm missing the messaging, but knowing that we may need water for firefighting as well, it's definitely something that's concerning in terms of irrigation. And
yeah, I think we're recruiting a water conservation specialist right now. So I think we're for irrigation plan reviews and those sorts of things, we're using the person that used to work here who's gone to Medford.
Julie?
Yeah. And we're looking to recruit, I think, her replacement, but I don't know what the timeline is for that. So, but yeah, I will check in with Public Works and let you guys know as far as the reservoir and if and when and how much we're relying on the tap.
Thanks so much, Derek.
No problem.
Okay. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.
Anything new from you, Derek? Thanks for sitting in.
Let me share my screen here and I will bring us up. So I wanted to, this is one Aaron had given me to bring to you. At the Motel Ashland at 1145 Siskiyou, this large conifer was cut late last spring, and I think the end of April. So it was cut without a permit. Staff noticed that it had been cut without a permit. So we've had our code compliance officer following up with them. They had a tree professional look at it, do a report after it was cut, and indicated there was significant rot in the trunk. So we've been working with them to address that non-permitted removal. And we're hoping to maybe get some recommendations from the commission on potential mitigation. And something staff had been thinking about was maybe looking at a way to get some larger stature street trees along Siskiyou in that area as a way to mitigate that large conifer. And just to give you an idea, the tree professional that looked at it was John Childress from Rogue Tree Service. He said it was hollow and rotten in the base and the middle of the trunk. The removal was necessary, but his company did not remove it. And they provided these pictures, and you can see the trunk. You could actually see all the way through the rounds.
Oh, wow.
And the stump had quite a bit of rot in it. So they very well may have been accurate that it needed to come out, but we're still trying to work through the mitigation process with them. So I don't know if you all have any recommendations or thoughts on what might be preferable for mitigation.
Were they wanting to replant in that same location?
Probably don't like the mess in the pool would be my guess. But
I'm guessing the mess or the roots relative to the pool. But I guess they would have the option to replant on-site, off-site, or pay in lieu of mitigation. But like I said, I think we were trying to maybe push for, since it was done without permits, try to get something in this vicinity to help canopy, and it seemed like the street was sort of lacking.
Very much so. It's all kind of lacking. Yeah. Nice to play the parking lot. Could I jump in real quick? I'm getting text from Derek. He's having a, or not, I'm sorry, from Derek, from Eric, trying to get back into the meeting. He's not sitting in a waiting room or anything like that.
Let me see.
Says it will not let him in.
He is not. I'm just quickly trying to send him a new. I just sent him a new link.
Okay, let him know that.
Assuming that I've got the technology figured out.
But I like the idea of some trees along there, Derek. What's the protocol for it, or even the precedent? I mean, can we make a recommendation for multiple trees, or?
I'd say if you guys make a recommendation, and we'll see what we can work through with them. I mean, we still haven't completely ruled out a citation, but it's sort of the, you know, if we can get to something voluntary that they agree to without going to court or to a citation, I think that would hopefully be everyone's preference.
Remind me of the address one more time. I'm just going to pull it up.
1145 Siskiyou.
It's the one next door to Morning Glory, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of asphalt.
Yeah.
Asphalt. And it's been, I mean, I actually didn't even notice that tree was cut down, but just because it's kind of further, kind of in the back, you know, I never really think of really looking over there. It's just kind of like old motel kind of hotel kind of vibe. I think any kind of planting would be good. As far as like a fine, I don't know if that's really going to do anything.
Nope. They may not like putting trees in that planter area just because it covers up the motel sign, but man, sure seems like it could use something.
What's the address of this place? Does anyone know?
1145 Siskiyou. I think this picture is straight out of Google Street View.
Okay, so that's kind of right near Morning Glory.
Yep.
mostly maples and stuff along the street, the street trees along there.
Nothing along there on that property.
Not on that property, but kind of up and down the street, like on the SOU side of the road. Yeah, there's not a lot of canopy on that side. Sure.
Yeah, back about Eric, I just tried calling him and he didn't pick up. But what's worked for me before is if when Aaron kind of re-emailed me the link,
yeah,
and then I could just click it. So,
yes, Derek resent one. He says he's unplugging his router and see if that helps. But sounds like it might be on his end.
So would you guys be okay with just saying, you know, that you recommend adding canopy with some larger stature trees, either the parking lot or the park row?
Yeah, I think anywhere in there, if they could add at least two, would be nice.
That would be nice.
I doubt they saw the rot before the tree came down.
Yeah,
it looked pretty healthy.
He also said there, and I don't know how long ago this Google picture was taken, but he said there were insects. There was an insect infestation of some kind. But yeah, I was questionable about that rot being visible before they cut it.
There's probably box elder bugs just pooling up on the bark.
It looks like they've got a couple of areas out the front of their parking area that could be potential planting zones for trees. The one on the southern end of their parking area that kind of abuts the Morning Glory Cafe. I don't know, that might be a visibility issue with cars coming out of that driveway. It's already a bit dodgy. But the planting area where their sign is looks like there's plenty of potential there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd rather see them, you know, spend the money on planting and irrigation and that than a fine myself. But
yeah,
if they're willing to plant something, I'd rather them spend the money on that.
Definitely.
Maybe give them a choice.
Yeah. That works for me. Thank you.
Yeah. That's recommendation. Is that good enough for a recommendation, Derek? Should we?
I think that'll cover it, yeah. I mean, I can take that back. I mean, it gives us enough flexibility. You're supportive of a couple larger stature trees, and you're willing to give them flexibility to look at parking lot or along the street and think about visibility for exiting and entering cars as well as their sign. So I think hopefully that'll work, give them enough leeway to figure something out.
They should feel free to rip up concrete and plant trees, too. Just fine.
What would be the fine if you levied the full fine, or is that just a discretionary amount?
I'm not sure exactly what the fine would be, but whatever we recommended, the judge can adjust, and then it doesn't come back to trees or to the department. It just goes to the court. So it's not really helping anything in terms of what we're actually trying to accomplish. So if we can get a couple trees there, it would be far preferable. And the staff time to go to court over it is huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So another update from Eric. He's not getting emails or anything. So it's on his end. He's just going to keep trying. So
we're his okay. Phone's working. Why doesn't he just join using his phone? Does he not have a smartphone? Who knows?
Not sure.
I think we're still covered with the quorum.
Yep.
Also, one time with Aaron, you know, he just told me over the phone the numbers to write down, and then I dial them in, and you can join just via listening.
Mm.
And, you know, there'd be no video, but other than that, everything is the same.
We want to try that.
Yeah, say that again. So he sends.
There's a phone number here. Let me see if I can dig it up and you can text it to him.
I can probably find it.
And then there should be like a pin associated with it. So that not anyone can just dial that number. You got to have the special pin after the number.
Yeah, if he dials 1-253-215-8782.
Okay. They said there's a pin.
Doesn't look like there's a pin on this.
Yeah, I didn't see a pin in my email, but then Aaron was like, oh yeah, I need to send you the pin. And so then
there is a passcode actually for joining the meeting, which is 120442, but I don't know if he needs to do that on his phone.
Yeah, I don't know if it was called a pin either. Maybe it was a passcode.
Give me that passcode one more time if you would, please, Scott.
120442.
All right, let's see if that works. Okay, it's not on the agenda, but we have a public forum, and I think we had to have a presentation.
Yeah, I'm bringing Peter Finkel in right now, and I think he had included some materials in the packet.
Yeah.
So, Peter, we've got you on screen, but you're muted.
Okay, I am unmuted. I'm in Lithia Park. Well, it's wonderful to see all of you. I believe Aaron Anderson sent you an email that I had. So I'll just hit a couple of key points that I would like to stress. One is I've been living in Ashland for about 30 years, but I have been writing full time about Ashland for the last 3 years. And I started out deciding to walk every street in town, which I'm still doing, but I've been writing a lot about Ashland history. And recently, about the last year, I've been writing about every public artwork in town. And I'm just getting ready to start writing about every tree of the year, going all the way back to 1988, which is why I'm here with you. And I noticed reading the Tree Commission website that one of your missions or goals is to educate the public about the value of trees and proper care of trees. And so I'm hoping we could have sort of a win-win cooperative relationship. My articles are on my website, which you guys can, you know, look at your leisure to get a sense of how I write. But the editor of the Ashland Tidings normally also includes anything that I send to him in the tidings. So that's another way that the tree articles will be able, the Tree of the Year articles will be able to reach more people. And actually, I talked with Brian Hawley recently about the 1988 Tree of the Year, which is I should be publishing in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to start with 88 and go forward. But he had mentioned that he was disappointed in how few people have been voting for Tree of the Year, at least when he was commissioner. So maybe we can pump it up. So my hope or my request is if any of you would be willing to assist me, just either send me an email, you know, in my email has my email and phone number, send me an email or text or phone call or call me and just say, I'm willing to help occasionally, you know, answer questions. That would be a huge help for me because I'm not a tree expert myself, but I love to learn and share what I learn. And then when it comes around to doing current Tree of the Year, I'd love to work with you on, you know, publicizing that as much as possible through the tidings or and through all the I post regularly in all of the different Ashland Facebook groups, which is also a good way to reach people. So I just hope that we can do some work together, have some fun together.
That sounds great. Thank you. Yeah, we could certainly use some help getting the word out there about the Tree of the Year. We had, what, maybe 12 votes last year?
Oh, I was one of them.
And I'm assuming it's on Aaron's email. I read through that a bit, but your website is on there, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's simple. It's walkashland.com. Walk Ashland.
What kind of questions do you think you'll have for the commission about your tree writing project, Peter?
I would, if anyone on the commission is knowledgeable about specific types of trees, you know, you mentioned maples, some of those are trees of the year, the Monterey cypress is the 1988. So species specific questions, certainly. If any of you have either climbed the tree, you know, some of those trees of the year or been involved with them in some way, that I would love to interview you. Proper care, maybe we could fit in some of that just as a maybe a little part of each article, if folks were willing, you know, if one or two people on the commission would be willing to just share a little information with me, that I could just put one or two paragraphs. If you have a maple or if you have a Monterey cypress, you know, here's a way to keep it healthy. And then site specific questions. What I will do is I have a list of every tree of the year that I made up. So I'll email that to Aaron to share with all of you. And then if you have any site specific thoughts, maybe, you know, just jot a note on the list or send it to me, you know, like, you know, the owner of the tree or, you know, a story about the tree, or, you know, someone who would know a story about the tree. People love stories. So that's what I want to do mostly, is tell stories.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. I'd love to see that list too. There's some unique species around the Tree of the Year as well. Like thinking of a Spanish fir up on Weimer Street, and yeah, other unique ones.
Yeah, I think is it a weeping catalpa or something? Or a weeping mulberry, something like that. Oh. Over Faith or one of those streets. Oh. Pretty sure. I think Casey would be the storyteller, and he's probably climbed a fair bit of those trees.
Yeah. I'm talking with Casey already. Yes.
Good.
Thank you for, yeah, he's definitely a storyteller.
Great.
Well, I'll just say, Peter, you can get my number off the Tree Commission webpage thing on the city website. But yeah, if you ever just want to reach out and call me, I'm Asa. You can reach out and call me if you have any questions, and if I can answer it, then I will. But you know, I think each tree is going to be unique, and then when it comes to how you could care for the tree, you could probably write a whole book on each tree.
Yeah, no, likewise. You might also enjoy, SOU has a walk of trees they put together, and they've got a little QR code on each, and you can hit that, and it spits out a lot of information about those, that specific species.
And just, I will do that.
A really interesting kind of botanical walk that, that Mike Oxenheim put together a few years ago. And I imagine a lot of the same species that, that you'll find in Tree of the Year. But.
For sure.
There's also, is it Don Tote who was working with Parks? He might know a fair bit about past Trees of the Year.
Oh, right.
And certainly Brian Holly. Sounds like you were talking with him.
Yes. Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being able to meet you.
Great. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that, what is it, the radio thing, As It Was, you know, it's like, here's the, you know, back in 1988, you know, the community came together and nominated the Monterey Cypress, and it'd be kind of cool to kind of revisualize, you know, about that tree. That'd be neat.
Yeah, it would be. Okay, if that's all we have, and if you guys are okay with it, I think we just have one applicant here. Is that still correct, Derek?
Yes, that is correct, and I will bring her in.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and so if you guys are okay with it, this is the Walker Elementary over by Hunter Park. I'll go ahead and read our procedures here, and then we can get into that. This is the time and place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. Number one, the public hearing will be open, and those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward to the table at the appropriate time, give your name, address, and make your statement. Next, at the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. Thirdly, after the staff report, the applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant without affecting the 15 minutes allocated for the applicant's presentation. Next, all members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. The staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any question of the commission or matter which has been raised. The applicant will then have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. So I will, without a call to order, planning action T2. 2021-00028. This is at 364 Walker Avenue. This is Walker Elementary School at 1751 Holmes Avenue, Hunter Park. The applicant is HMK Company. The owners are the Ashland School District and the City of Ashland, Ashland Parks and Rec Commission. This is a request for site design review approval for 22,450 square foot single story addition to Walker Elementary School at 364 Walker Avenue. As part of the proposal, the parking lot and drop-off lane would be relocated and expanded, with access to be taken via Hunter Court, the driveway serving Hunter Park, and a new courtyard to be created. The application also includes requests for a conditional use permit to modify the school district's master sign permit program to allow new signage for Walker Elementary School in conjunction with the proposed addition, the tree removal permits to remove 14 significant trees. An existing 9,700 square foot classroom will be demolished in conjunction with the proposal. You guys, maybe I have a chance to visit the site. I had a look. Anybody else?
I looked, you know, months ago when this was kind of coming in the meeting, but I didn't look today.
Right. Okay, well, Derek, can you bring us up to speed here?
Sure. So I got two plans here. This is the current state of things, although it's a little bit blurry. But Walker Avenue out here, Holmes Avenue, and then Hunter Court is just out of frame on this one. The existing configuration, the school generally runs along Walker. There's a parent pickup and drop-off loop that parents enter from Holmes, circle through and exit out onto Walker fairly close to that intersection. And I think it's, according to the application, fairly common that cars queue back into Holmes and all the way back into this intersection. So a bond was approved by voters in Ashland to renovate all the schools, and those projects are underway. I think this is the last of them. And they're looking at getting rid of that drop-off loop and the parking here and demolishing a classroom building, a 9,700-foot classroom building here. And with the drop-off loop going away, parking and circulation would shift over adjacent to Hunter Court, and people would be able to loop through, so they'd get a lot more queuing before traffic comes out and backs into Holmes Avenue. They do a new addition here, and then where they demolished that 9,700-foot classroom in here would create a more central courtyard area that kind of gives them a more controllable space within the school, so that they have kids kind of in a central secure area. And the one thing I noted on the tree protection plan here, don't really see it, but as part of their negotiations with parks to use Hunter Court, they have to install a 5-foot granite path from the Central Ashland bike path along the railroad tracks into campus. So right behind the curb adjacent to those trees. So it's a 5-foot path, and the trees are about 6 foot from the back of curb. And then sidewalk and park row would be installed along here, and a new turn lane would be installed on this about 75 feet from the intersection with Holmes. So you can see really the tree removals are around the demolition, the new addition, and then the reconfiguration of circulation.
And we've seen this before, right? I mean, it seems like a different plan, but...
I think it came to you back in March, and at that time it looked like they were not going to be able to use Hunter Court, so you backed off of making a recommendation pending what came out of that, and after 3 months or 4 months of negotiation, it's essentially the same plan with, you know, like I said, that pathway there is one of the key tweaks, I think, since March.
Okay. Thanks for that. It helped clarify some things.
Yep, no problem.
Is there a count in terms of net gain or loss of trees?
We can maybe have Amy.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yes, yeah. And we can get specifics from her. So welcome, Amy.
Thank you. I was just looking at the tree planting plan to see if I could give you a number. So the elementary school tree, the elementary school has over 100 trees on the property in total. Of those, there are 14 significant trees to be removed to facilitate the site construction. And then there's a couple on the north end of Hunter Court where the path would be, and then also due to the condition of them, that will be removed. All the trees were tagged with silver tags. Someone kindly went through and ripped the majority of those down. And so I put green tags on all the trees that are to be taken out. I have a feeling that the green flagging, whether it's still there or not, is probably questionable. It's enticing to go rip things off the trees. So they have been marked a couple of times, but it keeps coming down. So of the 100 trees on the site, 14 are subject to tree removal permits and mitigation in the city. And those are conifer trees that are greater than 18 inches in diameter breast height, and the deciduous trees greater than 12 inches caliper, or 12 inches in diameter breast height. All of the trees that are proposed for removal are generally the same as what was originally on the application that was in the packet. The main one that is to be taken out that wasn't included before is the larger stature ash tree that's, thanks, Derek, that's over on Hunter Court. And the reason why that one came out, I think that Michael Dawkins, the planning commissioner, was questioning why it would be saved. I don't, if you didn't look at it when I was hanging the ribbon on it, I was kind of concerned whether I should be really getting that close to that tree, because it has some pretty large cavities in it and some bark falling off of it and dead limbs, and it just isn't in very good shape. With the proposal, there wasn't really any major impacts to it originally. With this proposal now, due to our traffic consultant concerns about stacking of vehicles there, and due to what's happening on the other side of Hunter Court, it's more narrow than your typical street because it's actually a driveway. So this turn lane is being added so that cars don't start stacking into the area where it's more narrow due to on-street parking across Hunter Court from the school. So there's one additional tree that hadn't really been contemplated before, and it's the big ash tree there. The rest of them are either in the location of the addition. That's where some of the bigger ones are that are out on the Holmes Avenue side. Those trees are in generally good condition, but they're right in the pathway of development. And then the ones on the backside of the school, there's some bigger ones that are, there's a group of four to be removed, and then there's those two bigger trees. Those are being removed mainly because there's going to be some grading work happening back there. And there's like different sorts of planters and just things that have been occurring over the years of the elementary school modifying its outdoor area, that those trees will be taken down and then new trees will be replanted. So there's 14 trees that are subject to tree removal permits coming out. And there's just in the parking area alone, there's 14 trees being planted. I don't know if you have the planting plan, Derek. I have it on my screen. I can share it if you want me to.
The 3.0?
Yes, 3.0, if you guys have it. So they don't have the specific numbers of the trees called out, but you can see just even from the bigger circles, there's way more than 14 replacement mitigation trees going back in there. I don't know. I'm looking to see if there's any. It does not appear that there's any pine trees going back in. I do believe there's one large stature pine being taken out, but there's not any pines proposed for mitigation. I know we're in this kind of interesting space of wildfire plans, trees. There is enough room that if there was a request to change one of those mitigation trees to a pine tree, since it would be a one-to-one, that would be something that we could include. There's plenty of room on the property. Of course, they can plant the trees away from the building. Let's see, but the majority of them look like, a lot of them are similar species being replanted, maples, the ash, a different, you know, a number of different ash trees and so forth, and then some Zelkovas. Are there any questions of me? Oh, I think that one of the things you'll see, there's like a stormwater detention swale just north of the parking area. That detention swale on your L3, it's like, looks like maybe X's. That can be moved anywhere. It doesn't have to be in that location or that close to those tree protection zones. It can be, it's flexible in its location.
E on this 3.0, you've got E in the center of a lot of these trees. Those are, I'm assuming, existing and ones that will be retained, correct?
Correct. So all the E's in the darker gray are the trees that are preserved on the tree preservation plan. So the new ones are the empty circles.
Gotcha.
I do believe that the parking lot will have twice as many shade trees as required by code so that they can use that as one of the parking lot design standards. You have to do like light colored pavement, extra trees, covered parking, or there's one more I'm missing, permeable pavement, I believe. A lot of people, especially in a space like this where there's lots of room, they can just plant additional shade trees, and then that meets the city's requirement. So instead of just like one for every seven parking spaces, they've sort of doubled up on them.
Amy, is there a swale associated with that new parking lot to gather some of that water, or is it all just going on to Hunter Court?
Nope, that's what Derek is running the cursor over. That is the swale. So everything will flow to the north through, possibly through some of the islands in the planters, but definitely to the north into that swale. And then there's going to be a dispersal trench. So because the property area is so large and there's the soil types allow it, there shouldn't actually be any overflow of storm drain off the site. Most of it will, the goal is to treat all of it on site and then disperse it back out into the field. So the trees will still get, those trees that are off irrigation that are just out there, they should still get some water flowing out that way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a pretty ambitious project.
It is. I think if you see, which one is it? Hellman Elementary School. I think about 18 months ago, they were sort of in the same situation at Tree Commission. And now they should be, I believe, by fall, be back into those buildings. And the middle school I saw is all framed up. So yeah, they're moving pretty quick. They've got some really good project managers devoted to these projects that are seeing them through.
All I know is that try to avoid that area like the plague at 8:30 and 3:30. Don't drive down Walker.
Yeah, this, we really do believe that this will help with some of that congestion at that intersection because the traffic is coming largely from the south and from the west. And everybody right now is ending up at Hunter and Walker. And so there's already people going down Holmes. And it's like you're kind of just making a decision as you're going there with your kid, right? Like, do I take Holmes, Hunter, or the drop-off loop? And you sort of throw it up in the air. This, I think, will really help with, like, all the parents that are continuing north to the middle school. They'll have their route. All the people that wanted to just get back out to Walker, they'll now be able to go Walker, Normal, or even Ray, I think, is midway through there. So they're all people from the neighborhood. So it's not like there's people coming from outside the neighborhood to go to school. I think it'll just help disperse the traffic better. I live right by an elementary school and they've done everything they can do in their power. And I think it's just sort of like the American way. Every elementary school between 7:45 a.m. and 8:05 a.m., you just know to avoid those areas. Or like, I was driving a road in Medford today and I was like, this is great until school starts because it's 35 until it becomes 20. It's a totally different ball game. So it's hard because, you know, we don't want to have blips in traffic, but I think if you go around, it doesn't matter what community you're in. There's always a blip in traffic at elementary school drop off and pick up because they don't ride the bus as much as they could or should or would. But it's sort of just the fact of life at elementary schools. But we're hoping this will help a lot with at least the congestion at that intersection, which then backs up everybody at the middle school, even if you're not going to Walker.
Yeah, no, it makes sense that it would do that. You guys have any other questions for Amy? Still digesting?
Well, I guess my question is then, if the parents aren't going through that driveway that's gone now or will be gone, where do they pull in to drop off their kids?
They'll be using Hunter Court. So they'll either come down. Take off of Homes, yep, or they can go down to Hunter Court. And then it's sort of set up in a one-way looping system. So people that stay in their vehicle and just drop the kid off, they'll do that. Other people can park in the parking lot and then walk their kids to the door. The main, main office is on this end of the building, and that's how it is today as well. It's, you know, over, of course, in a much shorter area. But the kids could come at them from all sorts of different angles. This is really trying to consolidate, like the kids who are getting dropped off riding, bike, or walking, they'll typically come in this way. The kids who get off on the bus, they'll just continue on walker the way they're going through the bus loop. So it's not a huge difference. It's only a few hundred feet, but a few hundred feet in morning traffic can make a big difference in getting cars off of the road and keeping the functionality of Homes for people passing through and just keeping the flow going is really the goal. So yeah, people have two ways to get into that parking lot, either Hunter Court or right off of Homes, and then circulate through for a drop off.
But they're able to work things out with Parks?
Yes. They were able to, much of Park's concern was stemming from pedestrian and bicyclist traffic and connectivity and making sure that even though like right now they might not have many kids using the Ashland bike path, it's right there. And right now to go to the school, you have to go pretty far past. You have to then pull off into a parking lot, backtrack through the parking lot and come up. And though kids are used to doing that, this just provides more direct, safe travel for them and keeps them out of that street. And then Parks also has an ambitious goal to modify their pool. And in order to be able to change the pool, they need parking. And so they were able to come to some agreements about partnership of the parking, maintenance, and those sorts of things.
Hmm. Great.
Looking at the preliminary plant legend, are there any of those species actually large in stature at maturity trees? Because there's a fair bit of large trees coming out, like all those big cedars.
Yeah, the green-faced silcova is typically a fairly large stature tree. European hornbeams can get pretty large. Let's see, what other ones? I'm not sure about the autumn purple American ash or the Cicoli ash. I think that both ash trees can get fairly large. I just don't know about those species in particular. And same with the bonfire sugar maple. Sugar maples often can get to be really large stature trees in a pretty quick short amount of time. I just don't know about bonfire if that one is also a large stature. But I think the hornbeam, definitely, the zelkova, definitely, the ashes and that maple are probably all larger stature types of trees.
The yellow would get there eventually, just a little slower.
Yeah.
Neat trees.
Definitely. You know, the ornamental pear, the tila, the crab apples, and the dogwood, those are, of course, more like landscape feature trees.
I've seen the lindens, the tilias can get big as well. But anyway.
Right.
It'd be nice to see more conifers, but I know we're not doing conifers these days. Okay.
I mean, there is one. I think there's just one. I'll have to look at my list. I'm fairly certain there may be two, a blue spruce and a pine. You know, there is area that they could realistically replant a conifer tree if you guys wanted to see that, you know, the replacement species. They've got everything in Latin names, so I have to do some mental gymnastics here. It looks like there's a deodar and a pine.
Existing.
That are coming out. Number 21 on the removal list, mm-hmm. Calodorosis. Maybe that's the blue spruce. And then a pine tree, a ponderosa.
And those big, the big incense cedar too on the.
That's what it is. There's a 33-inch incense cedar and a, there's three incense cedars that are subject to tree removal permits, four incense cedars, and then one pine tree. One, two, three, four incense cedars and one pine tree. Those are the conifers coming out.
Are there any incense cedars going back in?
There's no conifers on the plan. That's where I think if you guys wanted to make a recommendation to that, there's very few sites, I think, in town where conifer trees can be replanted as part of a removal permit. And this might be an opportunity because we've got ample room to right. put a conifer tree back in, or two or four.
Yeah, those are the ones that it's hard to see them get cut down, those nice incense cedars along the driveway there.
Right.
Those are some nice big, they look so healthy too.
Yeah, they've been there a long time.
Yeah.
Well, and the incense cedar, I mean, that's really the only like native thing, you know, out of the plants that are, you know, the new plant list, there's nothing native. So I think, you know, it'd be nice to plant something native.
Yeah.
A little more drought resistant.
Then, like, to the north of the bioswale and the parking lot, that's just all open park space, right? Use it as a playground or?
There's a ball field. And it would be the northeast corner. It's the only 50-70 ball field for Little League in the Ashland area. 50-70s for the boys that are like 13 to 14. They've aged out of Little League. So they get a bigger field. And there's only a few of them in the Rogue Valley. And this is one of them that's remaining. There's actually a ball field in, I think, each corner. But the play area will remain in generally the same location that it's in. The asphalt play area that they have, that will stay in generally the same location. So that big grass area to the north of the school will generally stay in the configuration that it's in.
Well, I'd certainly like to see some, like Asa was saying, some more natives go in there and, you know, an homage to the lovely incense cedars that have been taken out. I would defer to the arborists in terms of whether they think our future drought conditions would support a healthy reestablishment with them in a different spot. What do you guys think?
I think we should try. Climate modeling has ponderosa pine not being here in the future, but you know, a lot of this will be irrigated. The incense cedar are pretty darn drought tolerant. It would be nice to, not so much, I'm not a huge blue spruce fan and it's not native. That might be one you could sub out and put a native in.
I think even it could be something that they plant near the bioswale area so that there is, you know, even in events of when there maybe isn't irrigation water available, at least in the winter time, they're getting supplemented. And then there's, I think, SOU, the schools, you're seeing pretty rapidly what happens when you're not irrigating at those facilities.
Yeah. A lot of dead trees this summer.
Definitely.
And so there are three big incense eater coming out, correct?
There are, if Derek can zoom in, I can go back to my screen.
I think it's four.
There's four.
There's only three that are subject to needing a permit.
21, 22, 23, and 25 all need permits. And then number 20 is the pine. So 20, 21, 22, 23, and 25 are the conifers. And I think they're all in that island area in the front of the building there. Mm-hmm.
So is tree 21 coming out just because for ease of construction?
I believe that is the big one.
Yeah, it's towards Holmes Avenue.
Yeah, my guess is that it's proximity to that excavation there. There's quite a bit of asphalt that will be tore up in that location as well, because there's actually where that like rectangle is, that's a retaining wall, because right now the driveway is coming in. So they're not only doing construction really nearby, but they're also ripping up a bunch of ground adjacent to those trees. There's curbing, the asphalt driveway, those sorts of things. That's like the start of the bus loop, I do believe, right there. So it's, that's probably why. I think it's the pine tree that looks really good when you're up close. And then when you step back, it's not so good looking. You can see the forked top and I think the pine, but I don't recall number 21 looking at it, the bigger of the incense cedars. Going to look and see if you can see it in Google Street View. I'm getting internal server errors for property data online. Well, I can't go that way. The county's website's not working.
Amy, what are the darker lines, kind of midway through the property bordering Holmes Avenue? There's like two boxes, kind of two long.
That's where the driveway currently comes in. And that is like where they're going to build a little retaining wall. There's some grade change at the backside of Holmes right there.
I have it on Google Street View. If you wanted me to share my screen, I could show you.
That'd be handy. I can't get to it.
Can you see that?
Oh.
Yeah.
He doesn't look as healthy.
It's hard for me to tell, but these all look like incense cedars right here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about this one on the end, though. Is that a little juniper?
Let's see what that one is.
The plans show it as being a spruce.
Oh, spruce, okay.
But the removal of asphalt around those trees sounds great. You know, the spruce and that large number 21 cedar, I think they'd love to have that asphalt gone. But the grade change is a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that right where Kat had her cursor is where like those rectangles are starting, like right in this area. And then they're going over towards the edge of the, just past the driveway where you can see the grass in the parking area. That's where it sort of drops off. So it's flat right here, and then past this in their parking areas where there's a bit of grade change.
But all of these are coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right, I'm going to stop sharing if everyone's had a look. What are y'all thinking?
I'm pretty close to making a motion, but I just want to, I think it's such a big, ambitious project and probably a net gain eventually in 50 years. And I would love to see, some more native conifers go back in the mix. It's ultimately probably where I'm resting. But open to other ideas. It's a shame to lose that row, but. That's an awfully big building to put right where the trees are. Seems to be a good marriage of space with the parks and the schools. And kind of a ultimately neat, ambitious plan. It's just a shame. Got to lose a few of those nice ones. Don't see a whole lot of options around it.
Yeah, I'm hoping they did some traffic simulations to see if it even is going to make a difference. You know, I think a lot of people that use Walker Avenue are going to want to return to Walker Avenue, but it was an idea of mine. So hopefully it does work if it does go through, which it probably is going to. I mean, if they have the money, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So you don't think making a recommendation for adding in some incense cedars, Chris?
Yeah, no, I think that's totally within the bounds, and that would be a large stature at maturity native conifer. Maybe just recommending finding a spot for three or four of those somewhere. And I think you're limited, 30 feet from a building or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like there'd be some opportunities. Even I hesitate to say parking lot just because of the heat island effect, but. I would leave that to the discretion of the designers.
Yeah.
If you had to change out an ash for one, just because of emerald ash borer, I really enjoy ash, but seems like those bugs are on the move.
In the Midwest, in Minnesota and Missouri, I think I read, they're asking people to stop cutting oak trees because of some sort of invasive species that's now killing oak trees. And they're finding that cutting the trees when it's warm is causing them to rapidly decline. So they're asking arborists to wait to prune until the trees have gone into more of a state of dormancy.
Mm. We've got a similar fungal issue in the Midwest. They don't bring red oaks in the Midwest in the summer. Yeah, any other thoughts, guys? It's a big project to get our minds around in a short amount of time. But
Yeah, as far as the location of any conifers, I mean, I think adding some conifers back in would be good, particularly because there's the space and, just so there's not a total citywide genocide on conifers. But I don't know if cedar would really like seasonal, ebb and flow kind of flooding with the swale. That'd be more like a willow, like a weeping willow or something. I mean, the cedars have been doing good where they're at. I mean, kind of like wherever they have room, you know, if it's the construction impacts is why they're removing 21, then it's like, I don't see why a cedar couldn't go back there.
Sorry guys. I don't know how to turn the dinger off my computer. It's interesting too, all the staining on those cedars that are there is from all the irrigation. They've grown up used to it. Notice the white staining right about where the sprinkler is. There he is. There he is.
Sorry.
We're on Walker Elementary, a big project. It's the last one on the
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Anything I can do to help you?
Tell us what to do. I think we're basically that's that issue, removing some large, nice large incense cedar, and we're debating, maybe recommending that some other native conifers be put in their stead.
What about the firewise?
Well, and that's the beauty of this is there's enough space to work with that it wouldn't affect firewise ordinance.
Okay. That's, are we going to put a Deodar cedar in, or what are we going to do?
Well, we're leaning more towards native just because they're the nice natives coming out.
What are you thinking native-wise? What do you like?
Well, ponderosas are all dying. Doug firs are all dying. That's why I keep coming back to incense cedar. Maybe a sequoia. Not quite native, but they will be eventually, maybe.
And they grow fast, too, which would actually be a nice addition to the landscaping, you know, just to have a big tree. Just like, there you go. In 20 years, it's like, ooh.
Right? I love the idea of a giant sequoia in a playground.
Good idea.
They're beautiful trees. Beautiful trees.
They do so well around here, like you say.
Yeah.
Maybe the motel could donate a really nice large statuetrius mitigation.
There you go.
I'm sure this project probably has money in the budget.
Well, and so we're unless there's any more questions for Amy, I think maybe we should close that the public portion and just keep things moving here. And does that work for you guys? Any more questions? Yeah. Okay.
I'm good.
I'll come back to attendee, Amy.
Yeah. Well, I'm ready to make a motion to approve the as submitted with the recommendation that Chris figures out how to turn the notifications off his computer. That several large stature conifer trees be chosen to supplement the planting list, preferably native, with the suggestion of giant sequoias, possibly incense cedar. Would be open any friendly amendments for any other ideas or suggestions of species.
That sounds good to me. Is that a motion?
That's a motion, yeah.
I would second that.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion on the table? Motion carries. Thank you.
Is your computer a Mac, Chris?
It is.
So top right-hand corner, there's those three lines with the three dots next to it?
Yep.
Click on that.
Okay.
And then there should be a little tag that says do not disturb. Turn that on.
Where would that be? So I'm on the notifications. I don't see a tag.
Maybe there's a little wheel down the bottom of it.
There's a wheel. I click that and it all goes away. Guys.
Well, your settings are going to come up and you can then click
do not disturb.
I wish I had one of those in my life.
Right. It's called camping.
It's
called going to the lake without your phone.
I bet Derek would love one of those.
Okay.
Anyway.
Ooh. Okay, got it. Thanks, guys. All right. So back to the top. Looks like I gotta sit this one out.
All right.
Okay, I'll bump you to an attendee, Chris.
Okay.
You're muted, Asa.
Okay, I figured it out. I lost the main screen there. It was just the little sidebar. So I'm back. No more questions.
Okay, who handles things when Chris
Do you want to present it, Asa? Do you have the blurb there?
I could present it here. We're talking about 1065 Siskiyou, is that correct?
Yep.
All right, type one review, planning action, PA tree. 2021-00156, 1065 Siskiyou Boulevard, owner Jones William REV Living Trust, applicant Canopy Tree Care. Description: a request for approval to remove a single tree identified as a Siberian elm that is located along the northeast property line. The application includes an arborist report and photos showing the tree is in direct contact with the eave of the building, with the base approximately 18 inches from the edge of the foundation. The application states that the tree is in moderate health, but based on the location of the tree and the growth potential, it will continue to cause an increasing amount of damage to the building. Anyone go see the tree?
Nope. Saw the photos.
Yeah, here's the photo that's with the application. You can see it's actually contacting the eave here within 18 inches of the wall, and still plenty of growth to come and pretty large roots into the foundation as well.
And what do they want to do?
Take it out.
I can. That's a no-brainer.
Is there any staff report that we got to go off of too?
I mean, that's probably as much as I would. I don't have anybody else here to speak because Chris is the applicant or the applicant's arborist. But really, I mean, that's the extent of it, is it's hitting that eave and very close to the building. So,
yeah. Was it a year ago over in the southwest side of that, the Palms Motel, there was another failing Siberian elm that was it was towards the parking lot and people were worried about it, and it came to the tree commission and we definitely said yes. When I went and checked out that tree, I also saw this tree and there was mushrooms growing all around in the dirt near this tree. So the other tree was also infected by mushrooms. I think it was our malaria or something. So I would say even if it wasn't touching the building currently, you know, I would say it's just like, oh man, Siberian elm, you know, it's going to get big. It's going to get heavy. It's going to get relatively brittle. So yeah, I'm all for removing it.
Me too.
Me too.
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
A second. Oh, go ahead.
I think we're all voting to remove it. Yeah. Yeah. All yays.
Okay. I will bring Christopher back.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Sounds good. Lemonade sounds awesome right now.
Right.
Cool lemonade.
Okay, Chris, you're back in charge.
And I've been talking for the last 30 seconds, and I've been on mute. So
I'll start sorry.
All right, call to order. Planning action, T1-2021-00153. This is at 1500 East Main Street. The applicant is Ashland School District, and the owners are State of Oregon and Southern Oregon University. Science Works Hands-On Museum is a leasee. This is a request for a conditional use permit to allow the installation of modular classroom buildings as a temporary use on the lawn in front of the Science Works Hands-On Museum building at 1500 East Main Street. The temporary installation will house Walker Elementary School operations while the school campus is undergoing a major renovation. It will include 14 classroom buildings, 6 office trailers, 3 restroom buildings, and a tent to serve as a gym, as well as an access road and accessible pathways connecting the temporary campus to the Science Works parking lot and to Campus Way. The temporary classrooms would be in use beginning in September 2021 and would remain in place until Walker Elementary School construction is complete in March of 2023. So, yeah, if you could maybe walk us through this one too, Derek. It seemed like a lot of ground to cover.
Yeah, so I assume you're all fairly familiar with Science Works. Here's the existing Science Works Museum building, Walker Avenue, East Main, Campus Way. The forensics lab is just out of frame at the bottom here. What they're proposing to do is not remove any trees, protecting all the trees that are essentially around the perimeter of the site, cutting in a new temporary roadway here that would give fire access and equipment access, and then installing the classrooms, offices, restroom buildings. And then what you don't see here is a fairly large tent that would be gymnasium and cafeteria. And then they'd be parking and using Campus Way for bus and automobile circulation. So this driveway would only be for, you know, fire access or any kind of utility work.
A tent?
They're gonna have to do some kind of temporary building, which is probably gonna be a tent like the one that Shakespeare used in the park when that beam cracked. I mean, it was a fairly big tent with air conditioning and everything else, and seating and all of that.
For use in the beginning September 2021, so September this year until March. So yeah. Six months.
Until 2023, 18 months.
Using a tent throughout winter, but okay.
It's going to be a cold cafeteria.
Yeah, no joke. Bring your down jackets, kids.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see the traffic jam on East Main.
Oh, man. Science Works is a cluster. This little road right here, I don't know what it is. It just does not... Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's
Willow Wind across the street.
And so we're looking at tree protection zones.
Yeah, really, if you feel the tree protection zones are adequate, if you feel there's any, like, anything additional they could do or a watering schedule, anything like that. Because, as I said, they're not asking to remove anything. So it's really just making sure you don't see any deficiencies in the tree protection plan.
You guys refresh my memory. I've walked by there hundreds of times, and I remember the big cottonwoods. What's along the campus?
You want me to share my screen? I have it on.
Yeah, there's
ponderosa pines lining the road to the Science Works. I think they're about 15 feet tall, maybe 10 to 15 feet tall.
So yeah, that's looking back toward Main Street there. I've got some cottonwoods on the corner. There's a really cool tree, this one back here. Let me see if I can get it. This tree here, is that a madrone? I don't know if I can get any closer, but it's really cool. You see it from this angle here too. Maybe I can see it better from East Main, actually. Let me just go over here.
Mountain mahogany, maybe? Oh, wait.
Yeah, what would be in there?
Is it a lanthus? It almost looks like a lanthus.
No, I'm not. So, yeah, there's some quite big cottonwoods in there, but I guess that's the only way you can see it is if you go up this road here. And this is massive, but, yeah.
So that must be tree 34 on the map.
That one's a little close to one of the buildings.
Yeah, they're saying tree of heaven, so yeah, lanthus.
That's a tree of heaven?
Yeah, you can kind of see almost like the compound leaf, like a walnut, barely.
Oh, okay. Well, not so cool then.
Well, it looks like it's in a dry enough location that it hasn't spread.
So the plan labels it as Elanthus?
Yeah, number 34. I'm on LU.02. And on the right-hand side, there's a existing tree list. There's some redwoods in there. My concern with the construction impacts is basically just, you know, even less watering, even more compaction, you know. They've got to excavate a little bit, you know, to have even the temporary foundations of those structures. So I would just think, you know, maybe it's just like, hey, add some supplemental watering during the construction, during this, you know, the summer months or spring months.
What waters them right now?
I think just at least the ones on the west side, I think it's just, they're just native.
It doesn't look to be irrigated.
And they do okay. So would the supplemental watering be necessary? I'm just thinking any way to save water, you know, is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, if all we're talking about is whether the tree protection is adequate, you know, there's a spatial issue, but there's also like the cultural stuff that happens. You know, it's like if we start compacting the soil and scraping and
yeah,
all that.
I guess it's probably not a bad idea to at least suggest it.
And then, you know, is like the roofs, is it just, do the rain just wash off the roofs, or does it get guttered and then pumped onto the street? You know, all that rain that hits that field, if that just gets piped away, that's a significant change for the cottonwoods.
And these are all basically modular trailer types, Derek?
Really
digging any foundations or kind of?
I think I'll be putting them on, you know, a level pad, but they won't be digging foundations. And I think they'll be returning it to field in March of 2023.
Did anybody see the art installations in a couple of those trees? That was
I have seen those. They're kind of geometric triangle kind of conglomerations.
And up in a couple of the trees, and were like sort of human type figures. the big cottonwood on the corner had somebody peeking out, and a tree in the middle had like figures hanging from it.
Huh.
That was the highlight of it for me.
When did they do that, Peter?
Pretty recently, I think just this spring. It's like a temporary thing.
Is there any other issue other than temporary watering that anybody knows about?
Nothing that really stands out to me. Water would be critical for those cottonwoods.
Tree 34, it looks like the double, the trailer number 11 or classroom number 11, that's definitely under the canopy.
Is that what you think with maybe the ailanthus?
That's labeled as the tree of heaven.
Oh, there you go. Good call. I haven't killed one of those yet.
It could be an experiment.
It's impossible.
Derek, of the info you know, do you know if the water from the rosary is getting piped away?
I don't know that at this point. Because I think most of this is going to be compacted gravel. I don't think they're putting in paving, so I doubt they're going to do much of a drainage system for a short term. I think it's going to be really similar to what's done for the middle school right across Walker.
LU.03, there's two little dark stars towards Campus Way. Are those fire hydrants, or do you think those are...
Those are probably street lights.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm fine with everything so far. I just would like to see the water not get piped away.
I can't think. I mean, on a regular year, you think the sprinklers are running in that field?
No.
No. Well, that's good.
That land belong to Science Works, or who does it belong to?
It's SOU property. It's actually all the same parcel with the forensics lab and the armory. But Science Works leases a pretty big chunk of it.
Yeah. So do we want to make a motion to add supplemental watering?
I wouldn't this year.
Kind of hard this year, yeah.
Just like that would just be. These are some pretty mature trees. I can't imagine that they're not tapped into the groundwater somewhere. I mean,
they would have to be after this long and not getting any watering.
So really, it's okay as it is. I mean, if they're not watering the field at all and they've made it, I mean, it seems like this is unseasonably hot this year, but it seems like they're making it.
Yep.
So you'd have them protected and they have the protection as it should be out on the drip line. They should be all right.
Happy we're looking at a major installation without any removals.
Yeah, me too. Look
around it.
That's pretty cool. Mm.
Yeah. So C4.0 talks about drainage notes, and it says all roof runoff from the temporary buildings shall be collected and conveyed to an underground soakage trench located as preliminary shown on this sheet. I haven't located that trench, but
that's pretty thoughtful.
Okay, it's right. It's out by the cottonwood.
So, I mean, sounds like they've done their due diligence.
120 feet by 2 feet soakage trench, kind of running along from the corner of Campus Way along East Main.
Yeah, so I think that's great. I think the pines along Campus Way, they're going to have slightly less water due to the field next to them not getting hit by rain, but you can't expect them to pipe water to every tree off the roof, so I think that's good. I'm cool with approving it the way it is.
Me too.
I make a motion to approve.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
Second.
With a suggestion that SOU or ScienceWorks monitors the health of the trees as construction continues.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. So, it wasn't on my radar, but I think our name's on this application too. So,
I will bump you to an attendee.
The Walnut Street one? Where are we at this point?
Yeah, we're at the Walnut one. And Ace, are you taking over?
I can. I don't know if I have a blurb about this one. The one I have is about Fulton Street.
I'll put a blurb up here.
I love it when you do that.
And if you want me to read it, I can.
I can do it. Okay. Moving on to planning action, tree 2021-00155, subject property 469 Walnut Street. Owner applicant Eric and Cassandra Toes. Description: a request for a street tree removal permit to remove a 12-inch diameter at breast height Douglas fir. The electric department has indicated that the tree is in the right of way and is in conflict with the electrical service for the property. And without relocating the electrical service legally required, safe clearances cannot be maintained. The electrical department has indicated they would assist with the removal.
And just here's the tree. And I think you can see from the site plan, the electric service goes right through there.
Well, are they doing like an addition that's changing the location of the current drop line and the tower on the roof? Because what I saw is the current service line to that house is tens of feet away from the tree.
Yeah, just what the electric department says, it's in direct conflict with the required service connection that powers the house. They need a 16-foot, 5-inch clearance above the roadway due to the grade and clearances required, and without relocating it, they can't maintain safe legal clearance. And somewhere in the application submittal, the applicant indicated that created a fire hazard. But I know this plan was for an addition, but I don't know if that service is being relocated or if it's underground. Well, it must be not if they're worried about clearances.
Well, yeah, in that picture above the truck, on the other side of the truck is where the line is. You can kind of see it's a silver and black streak that runs across. So it's on the other side of the driveway, the current line. So unless they're moving it into the grove, there is an electrical line. It's like a telephone line that currently runs through the grove. that's not, you know, any voltage that would cause a fire, I don't think.
Right.
But having said that, you know, as far as usually when the electric department says, hey, this is an issue, it, you know, it's sort of like, okay, you know, go for it. But, you know, regardless of the electrical line, that fir tree is growing, it kind of struggling through the canopy of the pine tree. You can definitely tell it's drought stressed already.
Has anybody actually been there? I haven't, and looked at that on site.
I checked it out today.
Yeah, I saw the same thing that Asa was saying, that the line was way over to the side. My guess is that they're planning to relocate the power draw over from the pole, which would make it go through there more. That was all I could think.
So the line could be relocated and the tree could be saved, or, I mean.
Where it is now, it seems like it's fine. I think maybe they have to relocate the line and then it becomes a problem that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think it's relative to where the pole is, which is about 5 feet out of frame here.
Right, right. They probably want the power drop right off the pole instead of, right now it's coming from the middle of a line. It doesn't look like it's what they use.
It looks like it's increasing to a 400 amp service drop. There's an existing line here and they're having to increase it.
Okay. Yeah. 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 That's exactly what they're doing. Then they're putting in a new one.
What's the requirement as far as mitigating the street trees removals?
They'll have to replace one for one with an approved street tree.
I don't want to make all the motions tonight.
Well, I kind of felt the way you said, Asa. I mean, if the electrical department said it's a problem, then it's a problem. I can't imagine why they would want request for a tree to be removed if there was another easy way around it. So yeah. My temptation would be to just approve it, deferring to their expertise on this. I certainly know that electrical wires and trees have caused enough property damage and loss that we don't need to ignore that problem.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, 400 amps. I mean, a typical house is what? Is it 200 amps?
I think mine's 100, but yeah, 200 is, I think, what you usually see now.
So 400 is a lot of electricity. So yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Kat. Let's just defer to the electricians. They say it's an issue. It's like, okay, yeah.
Yep.
And it's, to me, it's not an amazing tree, so.
Yeah, exactly. So I make a motion to approve as written.
I'll second.
All in favor? Is it just, I can't see everyone. I keep dropping out. Sorry.
I raised my hand.
I'm in favor.
Okay, I'm bringing Chris back right now. And you can unmute for us to adjourn.
Okay, anything else?
Oh, I saw a dead street tree somewhere. You know, it's Derek is... You know, if a homeowner or someone that owns the property where there's a street tree, do they have to be the one that submits the application?
Well, I mean, the city can tell them they need to do it, but we generally don't. Usually they come to us first.
Yeah, there's one on East Main, kind of across the street from the other one that died months ago. And then across from Safeway, there was a dead one there that fell over and almost hit the bus stop. One day it's there and the next it's like on the ground.
There's also that massive one that I was talking to you about recently, Asa, just off of Hersey. Really big tree, totally dead. Big crack down the middle of it. I mean, it's not good. And I talked to a bloke that was out in the lawn building a fence, and he said that the property owner was having trouble finding an arborist because of all the, you know, tree activity that's going on since the fires. But I mean,
was that on Carroll Street?
I think it was Carroll. Yeah, it was right opposite kind of the Bioskin Plaza driveway, that road that goes down the hill there. It's on the corner of Patterson, I think, and Carroll.
Yeah, exactly. They called me and they said it was next to the curb. And I said, well, that means it's a street tree. I'm on the tree commission. You have to file a permit. And they said, okay, we'll get back to you. They never got back to me. Then a buddy of mine that does tree work, he's like, hey, we need your help removing this tree. And I was like, well, you got to get a permit. I still haven't heard back from them.
Do they need a permit if it's a totally dead hazard tree?
Yeah, because it might not be dead.
Oh, it's really freaking dead. But yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I got it. Free application.
But, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, they want to remove it. They just haven't found someone or something. I don't know.
Not at the top.
They talk to says they need a permit.
I mean, for the hazardous sake, could the city just be like pre-approved? Boom.
I think the city could just order them to remove it. Like I said, I don't think we've done that, but I think the code gives us that authority if it's dead.
Uh huh.
Yeah, well, it's dead, and it's a big hazard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely big for sure. At least big around.
Okay.
I'll make a note and go out and have a look at it.
Well, unless there's anything else, 7:45, meeting adjourned. Get my gavel back.
Here's a chopstick.